would. Let's go to Matthew 28. What I wanted to do was is really just continue to capitalize on something that Brad had said about fruit and the seed and our ministry and how we are to minister to others. And so naturally in Matthew 28 is the Great Commission, and I just want to cover that just a moment. And but, you know, Tammy and myself, we've talked back and forth, you know, with this, you know, about the fruit and the seed that's within the fruit and how we're to minister it. The whole idea is it's not really one above the other. It's both. It's both the seed and the fruit. Both is of equal importance. Because Yeshua is the seed. He's the Word. And that's what, like I said, if you know, and I can't go through all the scriptures, but it talks about a bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. It does. So any, and if that happens, then that means that the very seed of that tree is bad. So that's the Satan side of things. But Yeshua's side of things, His Word and all of that, is what produces the good seed that produces the good fruit in us. And so I wanted to go through some scriptures with this about really what is talking about is making disciples, baptizing, and teaching Torah. Now, I was raised Baptist. And if y'all don't know, that is a denomination. But it was what we were taught was mainly every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, the message was about salvation. It was about getting people saved, and that, no doubt, is of the utmost importance. But we really didn't get to how we should live part. But still, I think that from the different denominations and the different people this in here, from the various walks of life that we've come from, I can guarantee you Matthew 28 takes on a different flavor for most people in here. But what I want to do is I want us to try to erase our mind for a moment of what you've been taught, okay, in a sense of Matthew 28, and let's see what he's really saying here. Because this is Yeshua. Now, Yeshua has returned. We're going to start in verse 16. Yeshua has returned with His disciples, and this is what He says. One of them's already gone. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Yeshua had directed them. And it says, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But what? Some doubted. So you're already seeing here that with these very 11, now this ain't everybody, this is 11 people. Now they're seeing Him. Now it's hard for me to comprehend, and I'm not going to read into it, but it's hard for me to comprehend. Some worship Him, but some doubted. How could you doubt? But you know what? I don't want to be put in that situation. Because that is the thing about faith that is beyond our comprehension. Of being able to believe. But I'm telling you, when these 11, when they were there during the crucifixion, and when they saw what He went through, and they saw the heinous death, they was probably in their mind, there's no way somebody can come back from death from this, or come back and not have the scarring except for the holes in the hands and the side and the feet. But it's amazing to me how some could doubt. But it said that some doubted. Next verse says this, and Yeshua came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. So this is what He tells them. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. So He tells us it wasn't just for the Jews only. Amen? It was for all nations, because He's talking to 11 Jewish people here. Okay? He's talking from people that was His disciples, and He's telling them, go make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them, that was the second thing, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's His name. In the name of Yeshua were they baptizing these believers, and it says this, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. So here's what we're having to look at is He's telling them to make disciples, but make disciples unto who? Unto Yeshua. Not themselves, but unto Yeshua, baptizing them and also teaching them the Torah. The thing is whenever I was raised in the Baptist world, it was not making disciples, it was getting them saved and baptizing them. But teaching them to observe the commandments was not in there. We never did. And so this was preached to us over and over again. But the Father is trying to tell us that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. He's telling us to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. So baptism is important. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, baptism is not important. It is important. And we do baptize. Sometimes we try to wait for the water to get a little bit warmer because we like to go to a creek or a river. Because we like the river, the water in a mikveh, what's a mikveh? It was flowing. You know, it was one of these deals to where, you know, the picture is death, burial, and resurrection. It was to show your faith, and it was to wash sins away. Not go in a pool and let it all your sins be floating around like on a rubber raft, okay? That's not the picture. So the picture is death, burial, and resurrection, and then teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now let's go to Romans 14, 10 and 11. It says this. This is very important. Paul is telling the believers there. He's talking to believers here. He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Now, this word here, pass judgment, means condemned as lost. Why are you condemning as lost your brother? See, there's no doubt that there's many different denominations that believe in Yeshua in some form or fashion. But even in the Hebrew roots, there are people that there's different ways of understanding the Torah and what we're doing, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But the idea is our heart, when we minister to one another, is we are never to condemn or pass judgment as one who is condemning one is lost. Amen? Sometimes there, and I know Brad mentioned this, I know Bill has mentioned this, people across the divides of any denomination seem to argue over things that really don't matter. You know what I'm saying? And then they'll get to a place to where they're really passing judgment. But Paul is now, if this wasn't happening, he wouldn't be addressing it here. Okay? So he says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? And that word despise means you're making him or them of no account. That's what it means. In other words, you count them as nothing. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Elohim. So our job is to teach, make disciples, baptize, and teach. Our job is not to judge. Our job is not to judge our brothers with the intent of condemning somebody as lost. Because they are certain people that will say, if you wear makeup, you're going where? I'm going to hell like a bullet. You know what I'm saying? There are some people that believe in certain way, and they're adding to the scriptures. If you don't believe it exactly like we, if you're not in our way of, you know, denomination or whatever, okay? I'm trying to be careful. I'm not trying to call names. I'm just saying. But we as the body of Messiah, he's saying that we're not to be passing judgment because we're going to sit before that judgment seat one day, all of us. And the thing about it is, you know, we sang that song because a lot of times in that day, you won't be sneaking your dirty baggage beyond that point. Amen? In other words, spiritually, you're going to be standing before Him. And look, when He starts that projector, and all that stuff starts going, you know where your head's going? Down, because you don't want to see. You're just hoping that repentance and all of that has buried most of the sins of our life. Amen? That's why I'm saying we need to look at this as we need to be excited. We need to work with one another. We need to minister to one another in love, hope, and peace and all that. And you know what? If somebody doesn't listen, you know, when they went into a town and they didn't listen, what did he tell the disciples to do? Dust off their feet and go. He didn't say judge them. He didn't say, you know, ring a curse on them. He didn't say, go out there and vex them. He said, dust your feet and you move on. Because you know what? One of these days, the next group that's coming through, in their time, they may receive. Amen? So all through this, he's telling us that judgment belongs to him. He's the one that's going to do it. Because he says this, for it is written, as I live, says Yahweh, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to Elohim. Y'all go to Isaiah 45. As you're going to Isaiah 45, I'm going to read Philippians 2, 9, and 10 because we're going to come back and cover that chapter in just a moment. In Philippians 2, 9, and 10, it says this, therefore Elohim has highly exalted him and bestowed him the name that is above what? Every name. That at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So that sort of covers everything, but we're going to go back to that in just a moment. So when we're seeing this, I thought it was interesting. Where did this all start? This every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. Where did it start? Well, in Isaiah 45, 20, it says this, gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. So he's telling everybody, gather yourself, come as one. Gather yourself and come. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Verse 21, declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Now, what this means in that phrase, declare and set forth your case and let them consult together is he's telling them, you know what? Bring your best case before me. If you think your way is right, you gather up and you bring the best case. You get your best lawyers and you get everything together because you got one shot and you bring it to me. This is why he's saying this. Because then he says this, who has announced this from old? Who has long since declared it? What he's saying here is this, who has announced this from old? He's talking about Abraham, the covenant with Abraham. Who has announced this? Abraham, even from that time forward, who has long since declared it? The prophets. The prophets were bringing the message. So you're seeing here, and he says what? Is it not I, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh? Is it not I, Yahweh? There is no other Elohim or other God besides me, a righteous God and a what? A Savior. You look up the word, and the word is Yeshua. It says, so he's been at the very beginning. There is no God besides me, a righteous Elohim and a Savior. That's who he is. There is none except me. Verse 22, he says, turn to me and be saved. Well, hallelujah. Turn to me and be saved. That's sort of like in Isaiah. He's telling the prophet of Isaiah is even preaching the message of salvation way before Matthew. Way before the Great Commission as we see it. So the message of salvation has always been. It is not something new, it's something renewed. That's right. And so that's why making disciples, baptizing and teaching Torah, that's why Yeshua said that. Because guess what? That's what Abraham taught, and that's what the prophets were teaching. They're not teaching anything different. They're teaching the same thing because he's telling them here, he says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. So he, in this statement right here, he's not talking about just Israel. He's talking about all the nations because that's where we started at before when he says, talks about the fugitives of the nations. Y'all all come together. For I am Elohim and there is no other. So witnessing is sort of like something that's not real new. Amen. 23. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and it will not turn back, that to me, what will happen? Every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance, or every tongue will confess. So you see right here in Isaiah, even though Paul was bringing back, whenever Paul was making these statements in Philippians and also in Romans, he was quoting something. He was bringing something that they already knew from the prophets. Verse 24, then they will say to me, only in Yahweh are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. For in Yahweh, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Let's go now to Philippians chapter 2. If I can, I need Jose, I need Tori, and I need Coleman. I need y'all to come on up here, get y'all ready to make sure y'all up. They're going to help me do something in just a moment. Y'all can stand right here just a moment and don't look embarrassed, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, what I want to do in Philippians is I want to use Philippians, what Paul was saying, is whenever we're making disciples and we're baptizing and we're teaching Torah, we have to do this in a certain attitude. And that's what we want to now talk about, is an attitude of how we are to present the gospel to people who's not saved and those who are saved that don't understand that it's Yeshua and the commandments. Okay? And even when we're ministering to our Jewish friends, whenever we mention Yeshua and they go, to be able to minister to them with a great attitude and not get all huffy and puffy and want to go to war and start fighting. Because you got to understand, he does say this, some plant, some water, but who gives the increase? Yahweh always gives the increase. Our job is planting and watering. Our job is making disciples. Watering, baptizing. Our job is doing this, amen? And it's our job because he gave Adam a job to do what to the garden? To tend the garden. There's a garden of souls out there. That's why he said the field is white. In other words, it's ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. And so guess what? We're laborers in this kingdom. Once we've accepted him, once we go through our training period, we become laborers in the kingdom. And so there's a tending of the garden that's our responsibility. He gives us a responsibility of how to tend whose garden? His garden. It's his vineyard. Amen? And there's a way to do this. And this is what this is about. Don't run off on me yet, guys. Y'all stand there and look good. Verse 1 says this. So if there is any encouragement in Messiah, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by doing something, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full accord or being one accord, and of one mind. Now, in these two verses, he's saying if there is any encouragement in Messiah, okay? If there's any comfort, in other words, if in doing what we're supposed to be doing by ministering the gospel, we have to have the same mind, same love, one accord, and one mind. Can we agree with that? That's what Paul was saying. Okay, now what I want to do is this. This is a broom. What I'm going to do is in this broom, I'm going to give these guys a broom. You get that one? You get that one? And you get that one. All right, now what I'd like you to do is sweep the floor. So y'all go ahead and start sweeping because it's going to take y'all a while. So verse 2 says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being of one in full accord and of one mind. Verse 3 says this, do nothing. Now, we're a hole in the floor. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That right there, when he says do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, means do not judge like we talked about in Romans 14:10. Don't judge people and condemning people as that they're lost and they have no hope. He says, do nothing with selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. This is a simple little demonstration. Now, they have a broom and I have a broom. But really what they have something, they have a bristle from this broom. But since they have selfish ambition and they want to do it their way, this is the way their way will be. Or we can all work together and we can probably do the job a lot better and a lot more thorough because we're all working together. Because guess what? Each one of these bristles came from here. But yet, because that came from here does not make that a broom. It takes everything together to make this a broom. And what happens is in the body of Messiah, sometimes through selfish ambitions, this is the way we look to the world. And we work ourselves to death because we don't want to be in a community and a body together. And we will work ourselves and work ourselves to death, and we don't realize we're doing it. And usually, I promise you, really and truly, if they were to sit here and clean this whole floor with that, and their mom and dad's told them to do it, what do you think they would tell their mom and dad? You know what I'm saying? The thing about it is they would be doing everything they could do to get out of it. I can promise you. Because they would say, number one, do you know how long this is going to take? Yes. Well, the thing about it is, but if we all work together, then guess what? We can get the job done. Okay, guys, you did a good job. Y'all give them a hand. That's a bristle. You can take your bristle with you. I appreciate these guys doing that. But I thought about that. I said, you know, an illustration to where doing this right here, you can get a lot done. But doing what they were trying to do, they'll never get a job done. And even if they thought they could, you know how much dirt they're going to miss with that little bit of a bristle? Because you know how much we miss with this? But how much more would they miss? So the thing about it is we have to be a people. If the restoration of all things is going to happen, guys, we got to be a broom. We got to get our act together. We have to have the right attitude. Because guess what? They're tied together. Individual pieces are tied together. And you got to love your neighbor. You got to love your brother. Because if these two that sit here don't like each other and they're stuck and Yahweh has placed them here, they're going to have a miserable life. But it's up to us to choose to do what's right. It's up to us to choose. And you know what? If somebody's not doing their little part, you can have encouragement from the others to encourage with this one, hang in there and do your part. You know, because guess what? We're all in this together. That's what this is about. All right. So it says this, verse 3, do nothing with selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest. Going back to here, don't be a bristle. Okay, don't be a bristle. But also to the interest of others. If we will be looking to the interests of others, if you're one of these right here, but if you're really looking to the interests of others, you can work together because you're not focused on just yourself. Because guess what? Who's going to get dirty in this process? Everybody. That's what happens when you're ministering to the world. You're going to get dirty. You're going to hear things. Things ain't going to go your way. They're going to tell you you're kooky or a cookie, one or the other. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yourselves in Messiah Yeshua. Look what he says here. Who, though he was in the form of Elohim. Now I want you now to start to listen. And you need to pay very close attention. This is talking about Yeshua. He was in the form of Yahweh Elohim. He did not count it equality with Elohim a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself. That means He walked in humility. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. In other words, what did he do? He took on our form. He took on the very form. Now here's the creator of the universe. The creator of the universe. If he can do this, guys, we can do this. Amen? He gave us the example. He didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do. He, being the form, we want to move up in the world. He moved way down in the world. Amen? That just shows the love. And he's showing us something that he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Talking about our Creator taking on the very likeness of us. Lowering himself up because he loved us, because he knew the end result if he didn't do something to save us. He knew the end result would be a separation between us and him for eternity. And he loved us that much. He created us in the beginning. Yes, Adam messed up, but guess what? We would have messed up too. That's just the nature of man. That's just the way it is. I'm thankful that Yeshua didn't mess up. Amen? And he has brought us back into fellowship with our Father. Amen? But he's saying, if he did this, this is how we're going to have to minister to others. We're going to have to empty ourselves. We're going to have to understand what this is going to cost. You can't have a high and mighty, you know, if you knew who we served and all. You can't do that. You got to do it the way he did it. Because it works the way he did it. Verse 8, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, Elohim has highly exalted him and bestowed him the name that is above every name. Now you can see why this means something, that he is bestowed on, he's giving the name which is above every name. He talked about it in Isaiah. So that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So guess what? During the time of the resurrections, wherever you're at, whether you're under the earth, whether you're on the earth, if you're in the water, wherever you're at, guess what? Every knee is going to bow and confess that he is the Master and Savior of the world. And you got to understand this, guys. Yeshua, in verse 8, when he lowered himself in a human form, when he humbled himself, and he was obedient to the death on the cross, after that, he was elevated to a place of high position, to be high priest over all of his people. Guess what, guys? Today, we're servants. We're king's kids, but we're servants. Today, we have to walk in humility. Today, we have a job. And our only job, our job is not what I did offshore. Our job is not getting oil and gas to people so you can ride around. That's not our main job. That's something that pays the bill. Amen? What our job is to make disciples, baptizing and teaching the Torah. With humility, with a contrite spirit, in a way to where you, because guess what? When it's all said and done and it's over with, after we go through the judgment seat, then we will be elevated. That's the time we will be elevated. But it isn't time to be elevated right now. The time is to make disciples, baptizing, teaching the Torah. And if somebody cusses you, whatever they do to you, understand this, they did it to him first. Because they crucified him. Amen? Because you know what? Why is the reason why we're doing it? The reason why we're doing it is because we love somebody, because we don't want to see them totally separated for eternity from Yahweh Elohim. So that right there ought to not make you ever get mad, no matter what they tell you. Because you know the bigger picture. You know the reason why you're trying to do this. Sometimes it gets frustrating. Does it not? I know sometimes it gets frustrating when you're trying to minister like, you grab them by the ears, why can't you see? You know, and all that. But we have to resist that, because the thing about it is they can't see until they can see. I could not see until I could see. That's just the way it is. Unless Yahweh Elohim removes the blinders, I'm blind. And if there's a partial blindness, Like whenever he spit on the ground and he made the mud and he said, what do you say? I see tree like men, or men like trees, you know. You can only see what you can see. And so the thing is we have to understand that in my life, I can only, and you know what? We still don't know everything. Why do we not know everything? Because we still can't see everything clearly. So we still have a ways to go. There's still probably people trying to teach and tell us something. Why can't you see this? I just can't see it. The patterns, principles, we try our best to see, but I'm trying to see. So it works on, I'm being worked on just like we're to be ministering to others. Verse 11, that every tongue shall confess that Yeshua is Master, and to the glory of the Father. It says, therefore, my beloved, verse 12, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, it says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, here's something that we've always heard. Usually, whenever you minister to somebody, especially the Torah, they will usually say, don't do something to me. Don't judge me. I'm working out my salvation. But they leave out something, the fear and the trembling part. If we were really working out our salvation with fear and trembling, then we wouldn't. But usually it's when we're doing something wrong or we don't believe the scriptures to be exactly what the scriptures say, especially, I'll just use food laws for an example. You know, when you really like a particular food because you was raised on that food and that food is a good, you know, G-O-O-O-O-O-O-D, you know, for us Southerners. The thing about it is, and I did this, I tried to figure out how that scripture was to apply to me. And so you come up with all of the different, I mean, he could leave celery off the list. Amen? I don't like celery. I get celery on my hands, it's on there for days. I don't know what it, but a lot of people, you either like celery or you don't. Sandra call me up sometimes, are you coming to eat? If I do, say yes, she'll leave the celery out. If not, she's going to chop it up. A lot of times she sneaks it in there. But that's what happens is in our life, sometimes there's something that we really love that we don't want to give up. And then we start trying to say, well, this is what he meant. This is what we think his word says. We start telling God, we start telling Yahweh what his word and what he's trying to say. We used to call it, Bill used to call it shoehorning. Y'all know what a shoehorn is? Y'all remember that? Most people don't know what a shoehorn is. Y'all remember what a shoehorn is? Y'all don't know? If you ever go, well, today you go and you pick your shoes out and you leave. Back in the old days, there was somebody always there to help you. Yeah, and so they had this little silver thing, and you put your foot in there, and it was a little horn that went in there, and it caused your foot to slide into the shoe instead of you sitting here chewing up the back of their shoes. You know, if you ever seen a lot of our shoes always bent in the back because we're trying to stuff our feet in there, but the shoehorn was to keep that in there. But what you would try to do is if it didn't fit, you'd try to shoehorn it. You'd try to make your foot because you really liked that pair of shoes and they didn't have no other ones. And then when you finally got in there because you wanted to look cool and you got and your toes was, you're dying, you know, and you're telling mom, and boy, I love these shoes. And your old toes is crinkled, you know. And you're like, well, I don't have any. That's the only pair I got. That's the only size I've got. Oh, man, these are good, mom. Because you got to be cool to go to school. You know what I'm saying? You ever notice when Hannah and them, when they were young, when they used to go into the public schools and all of that back in their day, you know, you other ones about all that age, the first thing that kids would always do is look at their feet. We went over there to do some things, remember, through ATI and all that. We served over there. Yeah, we didn't go to public school. I know. I'll make sure everybody knows that. But anyway, but I'm just saying it was during that time, kids wanted to know what was on other kids' feet. And that was the first thing they would look at is their feet. It's just some of the things that we do, I guess. But my thing is this, that in our life, when you minister, You've already had this happen, and you will have it happen again a lot. When you minister, the making disciples part, the baptizing people don't have, but the teaching Torah part, when all of that starts to coming in and it starts touching people's lives of things that they're doing, and now the revelation comes that I don't need to be doing this anymore, the thing about it is it's going to hurt. And they will start the reasons why Yahweh put that in there. And you are, I've already walked through there. I did it whenever I told Tammy. Tammy said, like when we would go eat and there would be beans and there would be ham or pork in the beans. Well, what did I used to do? I used to get the beans and I'd pick the ham out. You know, and I said, that's good. She said, I don't think you can do that. I said, man, I can do that. You know, I don't think you can do that. I said, I think I can do that. Man, my belly was telling me I could do that. And I did that for a while. Until one day, I read the scripture that said, don't even eat it with the broth in it. I had to rub my eyes. And I had to look up in the Greek, the Septuagint, the Hebrew, and all of the above to make sure that that is really what that said. Because then, guess what happened? I had to pass that by then, and I couldn't do it anymore. Because I learned. And you know what? Deep down inside, I knew it was wrong, but I shoehorned it. I tried to do whatever I could do to make it fit. But you know, but when I saw it in Scripture, there was no more shoehorning it. He took the shoehorn out of my hand. And he said, this is the word until you do it. And Douglas done a teaching a long time ago about food and pork and different things, how it affects the mind. It dulls your senses. But what really is it that dulls the senses? It's doing things that he told you not to do. Even though you don't know it, it still dulls your senses. And the reason why it dulls your senses is because there's going to, if you had a clear sense, you wouldn't be in an awakening. But it does, when you do things, even though, because the scripture tells you, even if you don't know it's sin, the moment you find out, you repent and you move on. Amen? And that's the reason why it does that. So if we're going to work out our salvation, it needs to be with fear and trembling. And if we're not willing to do that, you sure enough can't jump on somebody else's back and expect them to, okay? Verse 13 says this, for it is Elohim who works in you. Now, if you ever want to know what the definition of grace is. This is one of them. For it is Yahweh who works in us. There's nothing you can do. You only know what you've been taught, okay? So you can't take credit for that. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, it's Yahweh who works in us. What does he say? Both to will and to work. It's him. That's what grace is. Grace is the desire for me to be able to do what he wants me to do. Look, whenever I was a sinner and I was needing a Savior, I was a sinner and didn't know I needed a Savior. Correct? So how did I just all of a sudden one day just get so smart? Guess what? I didn't. It was the working of the Holy Spirit that convicted me, started working in me to know something ain't right. I used to do this and I was good with it. But now I'm doing this and I'm convicted. Now, did I eat something? Or what's going on in my life? But that's what he's saying here. It's the Holy Spirit. It is Yahweh himself who works in us both to will, and to work. And how does he do it? It's for his good pleasure. And that's what the whole, to me, ministering is this. Is a lot of times we like to be individuals. If you're going to be an individual in the kingdom, you're going to have a lot of hard work to do. And I can promise you, if you're going to be a bristle instead of a broom, you know what I mean? Then you know what? You're going to be a believer that complains all the time. Because you're going to have to work not double. You're going to have to work thousands of times harder than if we all work together. And that's the thing about in this walk is we're learning. There's things that we don't know yet, but we're learning how to do things better. But we should never, ever, ever have an attitude to where we criticize one another. Because, guys, you can't see it if you can't see it. That's where long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit, I don't have time for that. That's where the fruits of the Spirit come in. Love, joy, and peace, that comes from Yahweh. He can only give that. And the next three is how we relate to one another, and the last three is how we relate to ourselves. But we have to have all of the fruits of the Spirit working in our lives. If we can, then we can work together with our neighbor, because that's what the whole fruit of the Spirit is about. It's about how we can have this relationship and how when we get to do a job, we're not working against one another, we're working with one another, having a great time and having a blast. Really and truly, when we go to Sukkot, this is really what this is about. Working together because you're living together, you're cooking and all of that. And guess what? It's just a thing to where if we is, let me just say it like this, and I'm going to close with this. Walk away has been a blessing to us. Amen? Walk away has been a blessing to us. Really, really hard to find a place that we can go and we can minister and we can worship like that, to where they give us full reign of a lot of places. And even this year, they pulled a lot more restraints off of us and let us go. But do you know the reason why they did that? Is because when we would go, they saw us working like this. Now, they didn't say that they never saw us perfect, but they saw a people that was working together. And they saw a people that if we broke something, we made it better than it was when we got there. And we've done that year after year after year. We have some other boxes that I went and bought the other day that me and Jeremiah is going to be going up there, like where the Valandy's up there on the hill. Some of those boxes is old. You know, I don't want Roy to get shocked. You know, well, maybe just a little. But other than that, we want to fix that. And so it shows what? It shows good character. It shows humility. It shows that I really appreciate. Do we pay for that place? Absolutely. But guys, you don't understand. You know, whenever they're saying that we pay between $13,000 and $15,000, they put it, you know, we can't go over this and all that, which is great. But here's the thing. If we really had to pay them the way they bill it, it would be $40,000, $47,000. Because it costs $25 per person per day. And we're there 12 days. And you figure out how many people we got in here. And they count any child outside the womb. And probably in the womb, probably half price. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just telling you, what I'm saying for them to do that is beyond, they're trying to work with us, and we're trying to work with them. But both of us is working together. We meet their needs, they're meeting our needs. Because, see, we had to come up with this thing because we're there 2 weekends. And during it, since it's the off-season, guess what? In the off-season, the only time that they have their weekends booked up because everybody's in school, but people have been booking up. So guess what? We book up, and if we don't, it's wrong for us to leave on a Friday because we mess up their Saturday and Sunday where they could have had somebody. So what it and it's even harder for us to come all the way back here, like next year, come back here Friday, and try to come back up here Saturday, so we're just going to stay through the weekend for those who can. Amen? So you can see how we're working as a broom together. You can see how we're working together. And so it's very important that this is how this works. And they're not the same denomination we are. But you know what? It ain't about a denomination. It's about the body of Messiah. Well, let's pray. Father, in this teaching, we thank you, Father, number one, that you gave your son, Yeshua, because we're fixing in into head into Passover pretty soon. So, Father, I just, even what we've read that Paul wrote to the Philippians, where Yeshua himself lowered himself into this earth, humbled himself, took on the form of a man, a slave, a servant, walked out and was obedient to the Torah itself to bring redemption back in to mankind. Father, not to where sins were rolled forward, but sins were remitted, where by his blood and by him redeeming us washes our sins away. So, Father, with that, you have now given us a mandate for us that it's not for us just to sit back and enjoy, but we are to make disciples, baptize, and teach the Torah. So as Father, as we see this, and as we go forth, we will always, for those that are lost, that we don't know yet, that you're going to put in our path, Father, as we lead them to redemption by the blood of Yeshua. Those, Father, like ourselves, who's accepted Yeshua, but did not know and understand things of Torah. Just thought it was good to just do a few moral things and life is good. But Father, how you have taught us and brought us to where, as in the book of Revelation says, the saints are those who have the commandments of Moses and has the testimony of Yeshua working in our lives. The Father, I just pray now, the very fruit that you produced in our lives here, the people that's right here, hearing, Father. Father, the fruit that is good in our lives, may we be able to give it to others. And Father, may it be sweet, and may it have the proper nourishment. And Father, may we be able to sow the very seed of Yeshua into their lives to grow to the next stage, the next level in their life. Father, it's about us being born from above, and starting our walk. We've seen many times in Scripture where we've been on the milk of the Word and now it's time to get off. So Father, I just pray that in our lives, as we're heading into the Passover season, Father, that you would just minister to our hearts. Father, that you would be able to put, because I know that the time is drawing near because of the things that's going on in this life. Father, may we be able to do what you have called us to do. With right attitudes and right purpose. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Old women and men shall sit in the streets, each one with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city, and joy will be heard once again.